Matthew chapter 7, we're just going to read verses 13 and 14 this morning. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Bible says in verse 13, it says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you, Lord, for this day and this opportunity you've given us to worship you here this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us as we worship you and your word, and we look to Jesus Christ, and we pray that he would be exalted today in all that we do. We pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts and that the sword of the Spirit would delve deeply to reveal, Lord, our need and your marvelous grace. And we pray if there be one here today that is yet to receive Christ as the Lord and Savior of their life, we pray they might make that choice today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. So, all right. You're going to hell, aren't you? Yeah, he's going to help the kids. Can you get the door there? Oh, look, there it is. All right. The door knew he was coming. All right. Amen. He helps with children's church sometimes, so I think he's going back to help with that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 tells us of two different ways we can take in life. A poet from days gone by the name of Robert Frost wrote one of the few poems not set to song which I enjoy reading and musing upon. You may have heard it before. It's called "The Road Not Taken." It would seem to work well as an introduction to our message this morning. So I'm going to do something I don't do all that very often, and that is I'm going to read a poem. And you may gather that I don't read them all that very often, but I hope that it will be a blessing and open our minds to the message today. "The Road Not Taken. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." Whether Robert Frost had knowledge of the scriptures that we read today, I do not know, or whether he meant in any way to allude to Matthew 7, I have no idea. But he was faced with a choice in this little poem between two paths, one which was more heavily traveled and one which was not. And being as he could not choose both, he chose the one less traveled by, which according to him made all the difference. Indeed, there are two paths, as we will see from the Word of God, that one can take in life. And the choice you make will most definitely make all the difference, an eternal difference of which I am here to remind you of today. Let's read Matthew 7, 13 and 14 once more. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. When you're looking at a passage of Scripture, it is helpful to get an understanding a little bit of the context from which we're reading. I'm afraid sometimes people take things out of context in Scripture and sort of make them say things they really don't intend to say. If you're reading the letter somebody sent you and you take one phrase or one sentence out of the middle of the letter and have no understanding of the context the letter was written in, you can make it say many things that it really, really didn't mean. So when we study Scripture, we want to look at it in context. So let me tell you a little bit this morning about the context in which we find this. This passage or illustration is taken from a sermon given by the greatest sermonizer, the greatest preacher that has ever walked the face of this earth, and that is Jesus Christ. This is taken from a sermon called, we often call the Sermon on the Mount, that Christ gave to his disciples and others gathered round on a hill overlooking the Sea of Galilee in Israel. I have stood on many hills overlooking the Sea of Galilee in Israel. It may be that I stood on this hill. I don't know. But the Sea of Galilee sits in a bowl, basically, and all the surrounding the sea are these hills or mountains that rise up on most every side, particularly on the eastern side and northern side of the sea. Upon one of these hills, Christ was preaching this sermon to his disciples, and others gathered around to hear what he was saying. The primary purpose or theme of the sermon is concerning the choice that all men have to make concerning their soul and God. We can trust in our insufficient righteousness or good works to procure favor with God, as many in Christ's day were doing, as many do today, trying to earn the favor of God. Or we can humble ourselves as sinners and repent before a holy but loving and merciful God, and trust Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of our life to save us, to change us, to give us everlasting life. These are the two paths we see laid out here before us in the passage. Let's look a little closer at this illustration that Christ used to see how it applies to us today. So verse 13 and 14. I'm hoping if I read it enough times that you'll have it memorized by the end of the service today. Verse 13 again. Enter ye in at the strait gate. Now the word strait, if you'll notice, if you have a King James Version, it's not spelled like we normally spell straight. It's not talking about a path that doesn't veer one way or another. This path is narrow, and it is a somewhat difficult path. It looks more like the path on which side, you think, the right or the left? More like the path on the right, okay? It is narrow and it is straight. It's uphill. So we have the, it says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way, this is the easy path, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So we'll do it in reverse order here. Let's talk about the broad way for just a moment, and then we'll talk about the narrow way. The broad way is by far the busiest path, bustling with traffic of excited people. Some seemingly confused, others very confident. Some loud, some quiet, some in a great hurry, others just kind of drifting along, no great hurry at all. What do we call them? We call them Sunday drivers, okay? You're on your way to church. You've got to get there. You won't be late for Sunday school, and you get behind a Sunday driver. So all kinds of people on this road. The entrance to the Broadway itself is wide, accommodating the immense crowd which daily passes through. You ever driven in Atlanta? There's places where there's like 7 and 8 lanes across, just on one side. Why? Because of the immense crowd of traffic that's passing through each day. Heading down this path, it seems most everybody is taking this road, so it must be the what? Must be the right one. Everybody seems to be taking it. Besides, the Broadway is a nice-looking road, newly paved, and it appears to be all what? All downhill. Sad to say, it is all downhill. Going down to the wrong place. We look at our picture up here on the screen. You see the narrow way going, that's kind of rough and going uphill. This one over here on the left, that's the nice path. And it's going what? It's the easy way. When I grew up in Virginia, I grew up out in the country, and we lived on a hill, and I liked to ride my bicycle. But no matter which way I went, I had to go downhill. Which means when I came back, I had to do what? I had to go uphill. And I tried to pick different directions to go when I had to travel somewhere that had the least number of hills, because it would really tire you out when going up this quarter-mile steep grade on a bicycle. And so you wanted to take the easy path. You wanted to take the more level path the easy way. And, of course, that's the way people deal with life, don't they? Most of us want to take the what? We want to take the easy way. Yeah, that makes sense. Don't want to take the hard way on purpose. If it is like our roads today, there are many lanes to choose from and many different sights to see along the way, and many who travel thereon have different destinations which they wish to reach. Some may be on foot, others on bikes. Some are driving sports cars, and some are piddling along in smart cars, which I don't know if smart is the right word. Others prefer noisy trucks with big wheels. Some can afford expensive cars, while others have to just make do with whatever they can get their hands on. In Christ's illustration, regardless of their planned destination, regardless of the vehicle or the lane they choose, or whether they are confident or timid and confused, they are all on the way that leads to what? They're all on the way that leads to destruction. Their chosen path will end suddenly. Their doom is sure if they continue on this path. Though they may not see or they may not believe it, around the next bend, the road goes over a cliff. Down they will plummet to their death. Sad, is it not? Now let's look at the narrow way. The narrow way, the narrow path, at some point turns off the Broadway, like a Y in the road, beckoning you to make a choice. As you approach, the only true exit off this doomed highway of death, you notice an old small gate, wooden gate perhaps, leading onto what appears to be a dirt path. It doesn't seem all that appealing as you sail along, and indeed, it is easy to pass by without a second thought, despite the sign over the gate which says, "The way of life." If you do slow down enough to take a closer look, you notice that there are few people going that way. From the outside looking in, the path seems a bit rugged and difficult, unlike the big highway you're on. It promises life and it warns of the dangers of the Broadway, but, well, no one's going that way. Certainly everybody can't be wrong, you think? And there's someone standing at the gate with whom you must converse before heading down the road. The gatekeeper. It seems that he is demanding a toll to take that route. While the big highway, well, it's free to all. So why bother taking the narrow road with the gate and the gatekeeper? I'll just stay with everybody else. I'll sail down the big one. What is the point? What is the point that Jesus is making? The point is this, my friend. This is more than a quaint poem or neat illustration. This represents the truth. In life, you only have two choices. You can stay on the broad way, which leads to death, hell, and eternal destruction. Or you can get off onto the narrow way, which leads to eternal life and joy in Christ. There are only two choices. The enemy, who is Satan, by the way, the enemy wants you to think there are many different choices. Through the centuries, he's devised thousands of different lanes that travel down the Broadway. Several different religions, several different idols that you can worship and follow in this life. But really, all of those are on the same path that leads to the same sad destination, a place called hell and the lake of fire. There is only one narrow way. There is only one true exit off of the Broadway. There is only one way that leads to life eternal. And that's the narrow way. There is God's way, meaning the way He has made, and the only way which He accepts. Through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, who left heaven to become a man. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the sins of mankind, your sins and mine. Jesus Christ, who is Himself the way of life. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Who is speaking there? Jesus Christ. Who is He speaking to? He's speaking to you. He says to you and to me, who are we? We are sinners. There is none righteous. What? No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. Those whose names were not found written in the book of life, Revelation 20, were cast into the what? The lake of fire. This is where the Broadway ends. And this is where, if we choose not to receive the Savior, we will find our end also. Because we are sinners, because we are rebels, because we have transgressed the law of our God, because we have missed the mark. And there's only one who's hit it. And that's who? That's Jesus Christ. There is only one sinless human being who is also one sinless God, who came, became a man, walked on this earth, suffered and died for the sins that you committed, so that you, through faith in Him, might by His grace, by His gift, be saved. This is God's way, and there is only one. And then there is man's way. What is man's way? Man's way is live for the what? Live for the moment. Man's way is let's earn a lot of what? money. Man's way is, let's experience all the pleasure this life has to afford and just ignore the consequences of what? Just ignore the consequences of sin. That's man's way. Just ignore the existence of God our Creator, to whom we are accountable. Just ignore eternity that is looming and may be here sooner than you think. That's man's way. Man attempts to assuage God's wrath by doing good works, trying to offset the bad with the good. You can do good works all you want, but the Bible says our good works, our righteousness, are as filthy rags before God because we're tainted with sin. What does that mean? That means if I go out and tear and change oil in my car, and I use a rag to wipe off that nasty, dirty old oil off the bottom of the oil pan, and I come out from underneath my car and I see that you're parked there and your window in your automobile is dirty. And I go, oh, my neighbor, his window in his automobile is dirty and I've got a rag. I'm going to be a good neighbor and I'm going to clean his window. What's going to happen to your window? It's going to be a bigger mess when I get finished because my rag is what? My rag is dirty. It's oily. It's grimy. I'm just going to make a bigger mess. We are tainted with sin. All our good works are as filthy rags before God. You can't do enough good works to offset the bad ones because the bad one is not just what we do. It's who we are. And before you can take that rag and use it to clean or do anything good, first it has to be what? It has to be cleansed and it has to be washed. And the only one who can cleanse and wash your soul of sin is Jesus Christ who died for you. But man's way says, well, you know, God, he'll be okay. He'll let me slide in if I just do enough good works. Man's way is in offering some kind of sacrifice to gain peace with false gods or the worship of idols devised by the minds and hands of men. This is man's way. Man's way leaves out one important thing. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. And the only way to get to heaven is to get your sins forgiven and cleansed. In the blood of who? In the blood of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter which of these lanes you choose on the Broadway, they all lead to the same place, death and destruction. The Bible reminds us in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right to a man, and there are many different ways that seem right to men, but there's only one way that leads to life, the Bible says. You either believe it or you don't. You can't have it both ways. You can't ride the fence. You either can do it God's way or you can do it man's way. And God's way is through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, all other ways lead to destruction. Please, I beg of you today, choose the way of life. If you would stop to look closer as you drove up to the gate, you would notice the gatekeeper had scars in his hands. Where men fastened him to the cross of Calvary. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isaiah 53:5-6, but he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity, the sin of us all. You would see the gatekeeper with the scars in his hand to remind you that he hung on that cross. And God laid on him the heavy burden. And he suffered there for it. That should have been ours. You would notice that he is not taking something from those who pull up to the gate, but instead he is offering them something. A ticket to heaven. at the other end of the road. And it's free because he paid the toll already himself. It's free because Jesus Christ paid the toll on Calvary's cross for you and me. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of who? Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, like the gift I gave the kids here a few minutes ago. It is a gift. They didn't have to do anything to get it. All they had to do was what? Reach out and receive it. It is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The gatekeeper wasn't taking toll. The gatekeeper was giving to all of those who would receive it. You would notice that the path ahead is narrow and a bit rough, but it's lined with gold, refreshing streams, and beautiful fruit trees, leading to a glorious mansion in the hills above. Yes, the path that leads to life isn't necessarily smooth and easy, but what's waiting at the end makes it all worth it. And the gatekeeper, before he sends you on your way, he says, I will go with you. I will keep you on the path. I will make sure you make it to your destination. For Jesus says to those who enter through his gate, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. His name is Jesus. He offers you this morning the gift of eternal life and beckons you to turn from your sin. Turn from your way onto the path which he made just for you. But the choice is yours. He will not force you onto the path. As you face the Y in the road, you cannot go both directions. You have a choice to make. Will you stay on the broad way? Will you say, no, I'd rather enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season than the blessings of God for all eternity? Would you stay on the broad way and say, no, I like it my way and I'm going to do it my way and not God's way? Might say, no, I'm pretty comfortable. Maybe I can buy my way into heaven. Or maybe I just don't care. One day you will. He will not force you, but he invites you. He beckons you today. Come my way. Get off the broad way that leads to destruction. Repent of your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. Receive him as Lord and Savior of your life today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him, that's Jesus, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Just two ways, your choice. Will you choose Jesus, God's way, or will you choose your way? Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, that's you, shall be what? Saved. Delivered from the way that leads to hell and destruction. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope if you're here this morning that you already know that you've made that decision. But if you haven't and you're not sure today, I plead with you, I beg you, as someone who loves and cares for you, but not nearly as much as Jesus did, that you stop and consider eternity. And that you make sure before you leave this place, because you might not make it home. Oh, I think you probably will. And I sure hope you will. The fact is, you don't know, and neither do I. please consider eternity. Please consider Jesus. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation in just a moment. And as we sing, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I plead with you, I beg you this morning, would you come meet me down here? I'll come down off the pulpit. I'll meet you. And I'd love to show you from God's Word today how you might be saved and know it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ and what you did for us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share God's Word with these people today that have come, our friends and neighbors that we love and care for, our regular members who are here to worship you once again and also care greatly for those they brought. Lord, I pray if there be one or more here today that just isn't sure which road they're on, I want to make sure they're on the right one, Lord. I pray that they would come today. I pray they'd come as we begin our hymn of invitation, that we can show them today how they might be saved and know it. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen.